wheat market continued to be on fire, and with it pulling the corn along. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as we are broadcasting at the NAB office located right here in Washington, D.C. Mike Zuzulo joins us today. Mike, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics. So let's talk about what seemed to be the rocket behind these wheat futures today.
Well, you know, Susan, I think it was a twofold issue, and it's not a surprise what we're going to talk about because it really does go back to how the crude oil and the energy markets as a whole, along with the wheat markets, are syncing back up together like we've seen maybe a month and a half ago in a very strong manner. And then they took a pause. And I think that pause was more about seeing if in the energy markets, the Strait of Hormuz would open with some negotiations, and in the wheat, would Mother Nature play a role in helping to bring back at least to average the crop potential here in the States. And I think what we saw on Tuesday's price action really was the market ran out of patience with the Strait of Hormuz opening, and they also ran out of patience with Mother Nature. And obviously those crop conditions were a big piece of the puzzle, not so much the good to excellent, which remained at 30%, but the very poor and poor conditions continued to show a worsening up 2 points to 35%. And for this time of year, that's as bad as we've seen. It's going back to 2023 when I show we were at about 42% very poor and poor. That same year, though, we were just under, 49 bushels on all wheat yields. So I think the trade's finally recognizing that we're running out of runway when it comes to getting an average crop. USDA's 50.9 all wheat yield from the baseline projections back in February pretty much can be X'd out, I suspect.
Well, you know, Mike, and I'd read earlier today there was talk about these winter wheat fields, some of them just being abandoned per se because they got to get spring wheat in the ground.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point that I'm glad you brought up that we really haven't dealt with up until this week. And I think what I'm hearing is 10, 15, 20% abandonment is pretty likely in the worst hit fields of Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Colorado. That number can go up pretty dramatically from what I'm picking up, Susan. And I've started to tell clients and subscribers that this is probably a lot like 2012 in the corn market when it comes to what happened in the central corn belt back during that time period for the corn crop in that time period where we needed the rains and needed the heat to go away most. And I think we're in that 30-day time range where I've gone from about a 49.7 yield down to 48.5 as of this week for all week. For all wheat, next week I could drop another bushel, and the week after that I could drop another bushel. That's kind of how critical of a time period and how much potential loss we could see, because what I've seen out here the last 13 years I've been out here, and I'm still in corn and bean country because I'm in northeast Kansas, but what I've seen going out to wheat country is that you can do a lot of improving of the crop. It's been hurt in January, February, March, but you got to do it in April through mid-April through mid-May, or late April through late May. That's really critical. So I think this is where we are going to lose this crop if we see this kind of weather pattern continue in the next 30 days, in my opinion. So that $7 level in hard red wheat may not be enough.
Talked earlier yesterday with a Newman Grove, Nebraska farmer who said his beans were already 80% planted. And he said, yeah, I planted in the cold, but some of his best bean crops have been those ones where he plants ahead.
Yeah, I think we will. And I think excluding South America, because I think what we're going to see is China and Brazil and Argentina are going to have a bilateral trade relationship where they're going to get plenty of fertilizer from China because they are part of the BRICS and they're part of what I would call the New East. But when it comes to Europe, North America, and Australia, you're going to see, I think, a real dynamic happen, a historic dynamic. And keep in mind, we are dealing with history in the energy markets. We really are in uncharted territory. As of Wednesday's late trade, we had the cash price of London Brent, which is the North Sea Brent crude oil, back up to around $135 a barrel. That's about $10 away from the record high we put in earlier this month. And we could go through that record high, in my opinion, because we're essentially losing 10 million barrels a day. It's ended up being about 550 million barrels after 55 days of this. The clock just keeps ticking and the supply just keeps going down. And that means we've got a ration demand. And part of that goes back to those high energy intensive crops like wheat and like corn, and even to a lesser degree, some of the vegetable oil crops in Southeast Asia.
Do you see, as you look at these energy prices and the continued strain that is there with the Strait of Hormuz being closed and just the continued high gasoline prices, what are you seeing factored in for not only gas, but diesel prices for those in ag?
Yeah, I mean, I think the 2022 highs for both unleaded and diesel on a retail price are going to go and be challenged. And we're probably about 30 cents away from that. It's last time I looked in terms of diesel prices, in terms of the 2022 high, that both unleaded and diesel made highs in June of 2022. So I would look forward to June being a really tough month. That's also the month where a lot of floating storage that the world's been utilizing, a lot of in containers or in storage facilities, crude oil markets have had to rely upon. What I'm picking up is those are running out, both floating and on the ground type storage units. And so if we see Iran shut down their oil industry because their pressure gets lost from this war, that's when it really gets to a point where we really don't know the upside potential. And some of the big banks talking about $200 a barrel crude oil markets, I could see that happening, quite honestly.
Do you see, switching gears a little bit, hogs having a continued premium to the cash, at least in the near term?
You know, I think the cash market needs to come on for both the hogs and the cattle at this stage of the game. And it would make sense they would, because we're going into summer grilling season. But I think we need to more than ever because of what we're talking about in the energies and the summer driving season. We don't want to see consumption slip. We don't want to see Wall Street slip. Those are the two biggest concerns I have when it comes to the meats. I think the funds are jumping back in to the cattle because the hogs have given them the all clear. And I think, honestly, the feeder cattle market, they're not as nervous about the border being open with Mexico because of some of the data we've gotten about the cases of screwworm in Mexico in both March and April, and they were much higher than the trade was thinking. So between the drought, the screwworm, and some of the cash price action we're seeing, I think the funds wanted to jump back in this week. And so this is probably a really good time period to be watching those markets to get those deferred hedges back in place, if you ask me.
So are cattle overbought at this point?
I wouldn't say they're overbought. I would say get up to that 250-360 level that we got up to in April today. That, as April goes off the board, 253.60 is the old record high. We've got feeders underneath us this time. So let's see if we can go through that. I think we have to appreciate what the drought is going to do to us if it continues, because hard red wheat country and cattle country are about the same at this point, Susan.
But do we have some strong cash potential that's still out there?
I think we do. I mean, I think I've been telling my ranchers that market ready cattle should be getting closer to 250 as we get towards the 1st of May. The April and the June cattle going up to the same price level, June meeting April as April goes off the board, would indicate to me that the trade is thinking cash is going to see a lot bigger jump as well.
Lots of things to focus on. Anything else you want us to keep an eye on market-wise for the rest of this week? And hard to believe, the last trading week of April?
Yeah, it really is hard to believe. I think the big thing for me, big picture, Susan, is whether the bond yields keep going up. Because if the bond yields keep going up, it's going to take risk away from the markets. In other words, commodity investment risk more likely to be diminished or dulled. And especially if the dollar goes up with those bond yields, that's kind of the trap we set ourselves up for. When we see crude oil go higher, the trade guesses or assumes that the Fed's going to raise rates. They try and get ahead of that, and that tends to take away from the margin risk on type trade. So we've got to balance that as we go through the summer, I think.
All right. Thanks so much. Mike Zuzulo joining us for today's market wrap up. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Tuesday market wrap up right here on the American Ag Network.